We are in 1 Corinthians tonight, and we are going to take a little bit of time tonight to look at the four people who were mentioned in our text this morning. Chloe, Crispus, Gaius, and Stephanas. Last week, we talked about Jesus, people talk about Jesus, and tonight we want to look at who some of Jesus' people in Corinth were. And we don't have a lot of information about them, and so we're not going to go extremely detailed, but we're going to take the information that we have and put together some sort of composite of these folks and think about how that might work out in our church life here at Bible Community Church in 2014, 1,960 years later, roughly. The first person we want to look at was mentioned to us in verse 11. We're looking at some of Jesus' people here tonight, and the first person is named Chloe. And as you might imagine, Chloe is a woman. Her name, Greek names have gender to them, and so they're either, Greek words have gender to them. They're either masculine, feminine, or neuter, and Chloe is a feminine word, and so we believe it's a woman who is mentioned here. And it's interesting, when you look in the original language, it says that it's been reported just by Chloe's, those of Chloe. There's not really the word people. There's not even the word household, if you have that in your translation. It's just those who belong to Chloe, which gives us the idea that Chloe was probably a businesswoman. Businesswomen were not unheard of in the first century. If you remember, Lydia from Philippi had a business of dyeing garments and selling them. And Chloe seems to have been a business person herself who had agents or servants or some people who were answerable to her. And she would send them on various errands and send them off to take care of her business. Chloe most likely was probably from Corinth, which is on the west side of the Aegean Sea. And Paul is writing from the city of Ephesus, which is on the eastern side of the Aegean Sea. And there was, between these two major cities, considerable trade that went on. And so, as Paul is in the city of Ephesus, and actually some of, we'll see this in 1 Corinthians 16, some of the men from the church at Corinth went across the Aegean Sea to visit Paul in Ephesus. It is likely that Chloe knew Paul was there in Ephesus, and she wanted her own people who were probably conducting some business in Ephesus to talk with Paul while they were there. We know what they talked about. We studied that this morning. They reported that there was quarreling in the church there. But the fact of the matter is that Chloe is utilizing the people who are responsible to her for the purpose of something more than business. As we think about her being a businesswoman, we are reminded of what Proverbs 31 says. A virtuous woman has a variety of characteristics related to her home and her husband and her children, but it says, among other things in Proverbs 31, that the virtuous woman seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household, and she considers a field, buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She's a woman who is quite capable and has even a commercial aspect to her work. But for Chloe, her business in Ephesus went beyond the commercial and the money-making and the business part. She needed Paul to know that there was trouble in the church in Corinth. And so she sought to be part of the solution. This is not to say that the men who went to see Paul with a letter, and we'll hear more about this in a little bit, it's not to say that these men weren't capable or didn't have this in mind, but for whatever reason, it's Chloe's people who bring the report to Paul. It reminds me that even today, We need women here at Bible Community Church who are capable, who are industrious, who are taking care of their households, and who are part of the solutions to the problems that we have here. Women who look to spiritual leadership to appeal in the name of Jesus that the church would live in the right way, conduct themselves as those who are sanctified and justified. And so on this Mother's Day, as we think of mothers, we can think more generally and more broadly of women in our church and pray for and ask God to give us women like Chloe who help our church spiritually and support those who do. The next person we see tonight, and this is what we're going to do, just simply draw some sort of composite as much as we can and then apply it to our time here. The next person is a man named Crispus in verse 14. Crispus is someone who Paul baptized, and if we were to think back to Acts chapter 18, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, we recognize Crispus was a ruler of the synagogue. Here's what Acts 18:8 says. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians hearing Paul believed and were baptized. Paul had a custom of going into a city and going first to the synagogue. He was going to those who were promised the Messiah, the Jews themselves, and he would go into the synagogue and he would declare to them that the Messiah had come. Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. He takes that message to synagogues in cities around modern-day Turkey and modern-day Greece. And as he does so, sometimes he is met with reception, but most of the time he's met with opposition. And so it was in the city of Corinth. The Jews listened to him for a little while, and then they basically kicked him out. And Paul left very clearly stating to them that he was going to the Gentiles. Since the Jews had refused their Messiah, he went off to the Gentiles. As he goes, though, we get this verse that I just read to you in Acts 18, that the ruler of the synagogue, the chief leader of the synagogue, we're going to gather from that phrase, is converted from Judaism to Christianity. This man Crispus, who's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1, also mentioned in Acts 18, is someone who puts his faith in Christ. He doesn't let his position hold him back. He doesn't let the crowd that is following him hold him back. Makes a decision based on conscience. As we look at these verses, we see in Acts 18 that Crispus, along with his household, believes in the Lord, puts trust in the Lord. Young people who are here, children and teens, that word household, among other things, refers to the children that lived with a man and his spouse, perhaps servants that the family had. I wonder, as I talk to our children tonight, are you or could you be described as part of a household that puts faith in Christ? Are you following the faith of your father and your mother? As Joshua was urging his family to in the Old Testament, and as Timothy's mother and grandmother Eunice and Lois did in the New Testament. The faith of our fathers and the faith of our mothers as they put their trust in Jesus Christ is what children here need to be following. And we see that in Crispus' family. Perhaps you are in a position of some sort of prominence. Is that keeping you from putting faith in Christ? Perhaps you're seeking to evangelize someone who's in a place of prominence. You're not sure if it's going to get through. You're not sure if the social setting that they're in is going to prohibit them from putting faith in Christ. You know, if you read through the chapter Acts 18, you get the sense that Paul was, I don't want to say exasperated, he was frustrated with the Jews. And it certainly appeared as if his evangelizing wasn't really bearing much fruit. And what does God do at, quote unquote, the 11th hour? He gives faith to the very leader of the synagogue that Paul had just left. So we talked last week about Jeff Breedlove and for 34 years praying. There are all kinds of obstacles to believing the gospel, my friends. not a one of us is really close to putting faith in Christ. And Crispus, quite honestly, would have seemed like the least likely to believe in Corinth. But he does believe. And he is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1. Don't give up hope. And if you're in a position where it seems socially you would be negatively affected, put your faith in Christ. Ignore the crowd that is keeping you in sin and keeping you in condemnation. Come to Christ, believe in the Lord, and make that faith public. Chloe, Crispus, and we come to a man named Gaius next. Gaius is mentioned one other place in our Bibles, in Romans 16, verse 23. As Paul is finishing his letter to the Romans, which incidentally we believe he wrote from the city of Corinth, Paul says this, "Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you." One sentence about Gaius in our Bibles other than 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What can we tell about Gaius? Well, it appears as though Gaius is a man who has opened up his house for the church to actually meet in. Church in your house. Imagine that. 100-some people just pile in Sundays around 11 o'clock. We don't know exactly what size the church was at that point. But Gaius is a man who was ready and willing for his house to be opened up because obviously at that time, church buildings like ours didn't exist. You didn't have the structure, and actually for a couple centuries, you didn't have the legal climate for church buildings to be built, and so Christians met in homes. If you'd have told me a decade ago that our family would be a part of a church in our house, I would have told you, you know, I think that's a great idea, and I know that was part of the first century, but that's not for us. In fact, there's probably any number of things I would have rather have done as a Christian than be a part of a church plant. But in God's providence, in 2007, we were a part of a new church. Started for all the right reasons in Washington, D.C., and that church met in our living room for a few months until it outgrew the living room and found another place to meet. Those were wonderful times. Every family has its season, and our season at that time was there doing that. And we remember that fondly. We remember trying to find enough chairs, and we remember kids upstairs in the makeshift nursery crying. And we remember kind of all the excitement of working together on that. My prayer is that God would grow us to the point where we don't have room in our auditorium anymore and we need to start a church as well. There's 60-some thousand people in Mentor. You've got another 20,000 almost, 15,000 to 20,000 in Painesville. We know churches around the area that'll hold a few hundred. Combined, we might get up over 1,000, but there still are tens of thousands there are yet to reach in Lake County itself. There's room for another church. Perhaps the Lord might even, through this message tonight, be preparing someone's heart and someone's desire for opening up your living room someday, opening up your house to be the fledgling place where a church plant out of Bible Community Church meets. Gaius was a man of means. Must have had a place that was at least large enough to accommodate those who come to faith in Christ. We don't know all the details. But I hope that our goal would be to continue this fledgling church planting idea, even as the Corinthians give us a picture of it. And that those who have the capacity to do so would open up their living rooms for the start of what God might do. And the last person that's mentioned here is in verse 16, Stephanas. Excuse me. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the very end of this book, 1 Corinthians 16, the last individual we'll look at tonight is this man named Stephanas. 1 Corinthians 16:15 tells us this, "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these and every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. Once again, in this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:15, we see that the household of Stephanas came to faith in Christ. Stephanas himself, most likely his wife, some or all of his children, perhaps some servants that he may have had. We're not sure exactly who comprised this household or this house. But there's every possibility that children came to faith in Christ again here. Excuse me. What characterizes Stephanas? Well, the ESV says that they devoted themselves to the service of the saints. The King James has a more colorful word for it. It says that Stephanas and his family were addicted to the ministry of the saints. What a colorful word, addicted. People who kept coming back to finding a way to serve God's people. And this is what most certainly every church needs. People who are coming back to helping out. People who obviously need to take care of family first. They have responsibilities at work, but they don't let those things get in the way of taking time for other believers' growth. In fact, we, the church, are in need of people who will even sacrifice their own free time, as it were, not their family and not the integrity they have at work, but sacrifice their free time to serve others for the good and the growth of other believers. Is that how the Lord would characterize your service to folks here at Bible Community Church? A devotion to it? An addiction to it? I know that that is for so many here. And yet the Lord may be pricking someone's heart that they need to be like Stephanas and his household. It doesn't say Stephanas alone was devoted. It says they, his household, was devoted or addicted to the service of the saints. As we think about this service, we remember 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever serves, Peter writes, let them serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The service we have is not meant to drain us. The service that we're talking about here is one where God gives the energy and then we act out on that. Jesus had some people in Corinth who were quite varied. Some were male and some were female. Some had businesses and some were in religious aspects. Some had means and some were not really sure how well to do they were. But in their varied stations of life, God brought them together to be a part of something larger than their individual selves, part of the advance of the gospel of Christ. Bible Community Church needs that same sort of varied composition and helpful devotion as well. Four people, real names, not a lot of details, but a lot of example for us. Because they're sanctified, because we're sanctified, we can have the same impact on our churches. I trust that thinking about it tonight, you'll desire that sort of impact here at Bible Community Church as well. Why don't we stand? And we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, four simple names, Chloe, Crispus, Gaius, and Stephanas. Four people who took serving you seriously and got involved in the ways that they could. And while they couldn't do everything, they could all do something, and you use them in a variety of ways to accomplish the mission of building up your church. Won't you do the same thing first in our hearts tonight, Lord, and then won't you do the same thing through our hands and our feet and our lips? We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.